Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 29th day of August. I'm Paul White. Thank you for joining me on the Genesis journey. Today is the 24th verse of Genesis 3, for this is probably the fourth or fifth day in a row that we've been on this verse, but I think it will be the last, at least for now. I do sometimes take a step back to verses after we move on, and more revelation sort of uncovers, and I might see something later for something earlier, and so we'll go back. But for now, I think we're about finished with this moment. He drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. I've tried to work this left to right, really, each thing in this verse. I don't know that we'll spend a whole podcast on tree of life itself, though we might. I think because if there's been one recurrent theme in this entire garden experience where Adam and Eve and the serpent and the fruit and the tree, it's been life versus death. We've talked over and over and over again about what the tree of life really means. And that is that we are getting to consume the life of God. Why doesn't Adam just walk over and eat from the tree of life? Well, that's the point of this passage, is that God says we don't want that to happen because in the condition that he's in, well, what condition is that? In the condition he's in, we don't want him to live forever. Well, what's been taught here is that what God means, and that's something when we start to try to determine what God means, isn't it? But what's been taught here is that what God means is I don't want him to live forever in a state of perpetual sin, which, think about it. If the wages of sin is death, and God told Adam he was going to die, then why would living forever, living forever in that dead state, it's not what we would want, of course. I think something bigger is happening here. I think it is God saying, and again, this is me saying, and I'm upfront about this. This is what I think. I think it is God saying, it would be a curse for man to have to live forever beneath the weight of his own consciousness. He needs a way out to where he's not bound by his consciousness. And I think the tree of life provides that, but God chooses that he provide the way to the tree of life in a manner that takes the guilt off of man, because what man is carrying is guilt. So imagine that Adam is able to go straight to the tree of life, and then he receives the life of God, but he's never atoned for in his disobedience. And therefore, though he has the life of God, he carries the guilt of what he's done with him. I think the flaming sword is God's way of saying, I don't want you to carry the guilt. I want to provide a way to the tree of life, but I don't want you to carry the guilt. And so he puts a flaming sword. That sword becomes the barrier between man eating from the tree of life and not eating from the tree. So even if you want to eat, you're not allowed to, because the flaming sword keeps you from it. When you get to the book of Zechariah, you start to get into the messianic prophecies, the sacrificial prophecies of Jesus. This is what Jesus is going to come and do. Though Zechariah's book never says Jesus by name, we know that's who we're talking about because we've read the other side of the book. We've read the New Testament. And we know that Christ is going to come as the Good Shepherd. So knowing what we know about the Good Shepherd, let's take our knowledge of that shepherd and our knowledge of the Garden of Eden, and let's meet in the middle. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7 says this, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Now, how do I know this is Jesus? Matthew 26, 31, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and he quotes the last half of verse 7. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. He tells his disciples that this is about to happen. And what happens is they killed the authorities killed Jesus and the disciples scatter, thus fulfilling the last half of Zechariah 13:7. But if you read the first half of Zechariah 13:7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, the man who is my companion," you realize that the smiting that happens to Jesus is connected to a sword that has been asleep. And what sword has been asleep but the sword from our garden story in Genesis 3:24? So the sword that was guarding the way to the tree of life was, quote unquote, asleep until it found the right person to smite. God providentially keeps man from that tree of life. What that really means is there's no way you can eat from the tree of life underneath the guilt of sin consciousness. So the sword is a ceremonial sword that is basically saying no one can get in. And so what are we going to do? We need the tree of life. The book of Revelation, by the way, has the tree of life. So how do we get to it? That sword is going to have to taste blood. Someone is going to have to take responsibility for the guilt of Adam. So Christ has the sword plunged into him. The sword that guarded the way to the tree of life has found a victim. And as Christ becomes the victim to the sword that guards the way to the tree of life, the way to the tree of life becomes accessible. We go back to the cross and back to the conversation between Jesus and the criminal. "Today," he says, "you shall be with me in paradise." And the way back into the garden has been given by Jesus. Now that we have the way back in, we can understand why the tree of life is available in the book of Revelation. Because remember, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, there's the tree of life, and it yields leaves for the healing of the nations in Revelation 22:2. And the nations are those people outside, the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie. They are the ones that need healed. The tree of life is not cut off from people who sin. The tree of life was cut off from mankind because of sin, but the sword isn't still hanging over the tree. So you do not have to clean up before you receive the life of God. The fact that the sword has been plunged into Jesus means whoever wants to drink from the waters, eat from the fruit, is allowed because the price has been paid by the Lord Jesus. "Awake, O sword, and smite the shepherd." Who's the shepherd? Jesus. Where's the sword? It was guarding the way to the tree of life, having fulfilled its destiny. There is no more blockade on the tree of life. The sword has found its mark. So stop looking for the sword to fall on you. Start believing the sword fell on Jesus. And if that be the case, eat from the tree of life freely. More tomorrow as we turn to the fourth chapter of Genesis. See you then. God bless.